John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, page 748. Those are the verses we'll be looking at. I've got some people, brave people, who've joined me at the front, but I'm just worried you're going to get a little bit lonely. Is there anyone else who'd like to join me at the front? Oh, thank you so much. Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, I'm a little bit flustered because I'm in charge of the clicker. Anything could happen. Ooh. I don't know how to work it. I'm sorry. What, how'd you get it going? Press right. There we go. Brilliant. That is our question for this afternoon. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Here is one of my favourite photos of all time. Do you see it? It's a picture of a man called John F. Kennedy. Can you see that down there? Yeah? He was the president of the United States of America, and he's sitting at his desk in his office in the White House. He's the president of America. One of the most powerful men on the planet. And do you see under his desk? Do you see? There's a little boy. There's a little boy sitting under the desk of the most powerful man in the planet, on the planet. Can you guess who that little boy is? Anyone guess who that little boy might be? Can you guess who that little boy might be? His son. What a good guess it is. It's his son. That little boy is his son. And everybody else calls the man at the desk Mr. President. But what do you think this little boy calls him? What do you reckon this little boy calls him? What do you think?
Dad!
He calls him Dad! The question of the day is, what is a Christian? There are lots of ways you could answer that, but one of the ways that takes us to the heart of what it is to be a Christian is this. A Christian is a child of God. That boy gets to sit under the desk of the most powerful man in the world and call him Dad. And a Christian is someone who gets to sit in the presence of Almighty God and call him Father. Have a look at the verse, John chapter 1, verse 12. Actually, it should be coming up on the screen. There it is. What we're going to do, he's talking about Jesus. The him and the he in this verse is Jesus. And the verse tells us something about what Jesus has come to give us. So, can you spot what Jesus has come to give us? We're going to read this verse out loud together. As we read, see if you can spot what Jesus has come to give us. Okay, you ready to read out loud together? We don't always do this, but we try everything once. Ready? See, I don't quite trust that what's on there is that it is. Ready? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Did you get it? What has Jesus come to give us? Did you spot it? I've got my masterclass down here. Yes, what?
It's eternal life.
Well, it is eternal life, but do you remember what's the phrase in the passage? What's another way of talking about? There's Matthew jumping up and down there. The right to become children of God, which amounts to eternal life. But the striking thing is, by ourselves, we don't have the right to be children of God. I can't go and sit under the president's desk and start calling him Dad. The only person allowed to sit under the president's desk is his son. And the only person allowed in the presence of God and allowed to call him Father is Jesus. He is God's one true son. And the son has always loved, the father has always loved his son, and the son has always loved his father, and their love for each other is so good, they want us to come and join in. So the Father sent his Son into the world, and the Son came into the world to stand in our place so that we could stand in his. He says, because of my life, because of my death, because of my resurrection, you can come and join the family. You can come and sit under my Father's desk with me. Do you see what it says in the verse? To all who received him. those who believed in his name. That's all those who put their trust in him. He gives the right to become children of God. You say, well, is that a good thing? To be God's child? Is that a good thing? Is that something I'd want? What's good about dads? Have a little think. Have you got a sort of favourite thing about your dad? That is quite good. I mean, you know, dads, they come and they go, they're hit and they miss. But, you know, any good things about your dad? You know, I'm quite glad about that. I'm quite grateful. Anyone got anything they're slightly grateful about their dad? Do you something you're slightly grateful about?
Yeah, he gives me money.
He gives you money. It's good to be honest, isn't it? It's good to give the true answer. Yeah, what are you grateful about your dad? What's good about your dad?
He loves me.
He loves you. Isn't that beautiful? And anything else? Anyone particularly sort of favourite thing about your dad? Anyone got anything? What was the favourite thing about your dad?
He still lets me beat him at table tennis.
What a genius your dad is. He still lets you beat him at table tennis. What a sensitive man. Anything, anyone over here, something you really, really like about your dad that you're really grateful for? Go on, shout it out, Kate.
Really good at doing stuff around the
house. Yeah, I've heard of dads like that. Yeah, really good at doing stuff. I do stuff, not necessarily DIY, but stuff. Brilliant. Now, I guess there are things that we can think about our dads, and yeah, it's good, it's great to have a dad. But you might be thinking, actually, this is a little bit painful. We didn't all immediately go, oh, I can think of something, because dads are not always good, are they? But the point is, even if our fathers have not been that good, here is the father we've always longed for. Here is a father who is interested in you. See, maybe your dad just ignored you, just watched TV. He never seemed to want to ask you about things. This is a father who reaches out to you. He sends his son because he wants you to be close to him. This is a father who's interested in you. This is a father who accepts you. See, maybe your dad never seems that pleased with you. Well, if we are with Jesus, this is a father who accepts us totally. He welcomes us in. This is a father who will always love you. Maybe your dad doesn't seem to love you very much. You're not quite sure where you stand with him. Well, Jesus goes on to say that God the Father loves us, get this, he loves us with the same love with which he loves his son Jesus. Get your head around that. The love that the Father has for the Son is for always and forever. And that's the sort of love he has for us. It's for always and it's forever. That is quite something, isn't it? I can see why God would love his son Jesus. I can see that. But if you are a child of God today, you can say, I am as loved by God as Jesus is. His father has become my father. I sit under the desk with him. And it seems to me a lot of people believe in some sort of a God, but he's just God. He's just out there somewhere. They don't know him. And that means they think that being a Christian is just sort of doing things. It's trying to be good. It's going to church. It's reading your Bible. It's hoping that some of that stuff will make God, if he's out there, notice you in some way. No. A Christian is not someone who is doing things hoping to reach God. God has reached out to me. I know him. Because of Jesus, he's my father. And when we remember that he is our father, it just changes the whole way we relate to him. It gives us confidence. Because sometimes when we pray about things on our heart, we're worried about the things in our lives. Sometimes we're not really sure if he's listening. We sort of think, well, why should Almighty God who made the world listen to little old me with my little old issues, especially after what happened last week? No. The Almighty God who made the world is, do you remember, your father. Because of Jesus, you're under the desk. He brought you in because he loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to share your heart with him. So you don't have to sort of catch his attention. His eye is right on you. He's more ready to listen to us than we are ready to pray to him. So remembering that he's our Father gives us great confidence in our relationship with him. He's a Father. He's not a boss. He's a Father. It also gives us great confidence in our relationship with other people. See, we live in a world that says who you are depends on things like what you wear. And if you're not wearing, you know, Superdry or Hollister, you are nobody. And it makes everyone kind of insecure, doesn't it? Go in that. Have you been to the Hollister shop? You go in that shop, pitch dark. Can't even see the colours of the things. And we can say, no, it doesn't matter what I wear. Because of Jesus, I'm not a nobody. I am a child of God. See, you say to me that I have a Father in heaven who loves me. It gives us great confidence. So, friends, is God just God to you? Or do you know him as your Father? Christian is a child of God. Which I suppose raises the question, how do you become a child of God? Have a look at how the verse goes on. Let's read it together, shall we? Let's read the whole thing together. Ready? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Did you catch it there? How do you become a child of God? You have to be born of God. So that's a very slippery phrase. What does that mean? What this phrase is saying is the change from being not a child of God to becoming a child of God is so big, it's like being born all over again. Now, who knows who that is? The Very Hungry Caterpillar, yes. Hey, who's read The Very Hungry Caterpillar? Apparently, it's the best-selling book in the whole world. It is brilliant. And the thing about caterpillars is they want to become butterflies. That's the deal, isn't it? When you're a caterpillar, you'd like to become a butterfly. That is your ambition. It's your kind of mission statement. But if you look at the butterfly, and then you look at the caterpillar, and you look at the caterpillar, and you look at the butterfly, do you see the difference between the caterpillar, and the butterfly? See? The difference between someone who is not a child of God and someone who is a child of God is a bit like the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. A caterpillar, well, there he is. He's sort of green, a little bit tubby, got lots of legs. He crawls along a leaf, and he certainly can't fly because he hasn't got any wings. But the butterfly, look at those beautiful colours. These huge wings and this very sort of elegant body. Butterfly can fly. Someone who is not a child of God doesn't love him, doesn't particularly listen to him, doesn't love to read his word, doesn't really think to talk to him in prayer. They're just not bothered about pleasing him. But someone who is a child of God is totally different. They have a heart that loves him, longs to listen to him. They're hungry to read his word. They wish they prayed more. They really want to please their Father. They are totally different. So the question is, how does someone who is not a child of God become a child of God? How do you get your heart to change like that? Well, how does a caterpillar become a butterfly? Does the caterpillar start to lose weight? So I'm going to go on a diet. Or what if the caterpillar practiced flying? What if the caterpillar stuck on some sort of paper wings and crawled to the top of a tree and found a good high leaf and jumped off? Lots of times. Do you think the caterpillar would ever learn to fly like that? Possibly not. What about if the caterpillar got some face paints and painted colours all over itself? Would that help him to become a butterfly? Do you think? No. Now what happens is the caterpillar turns into a chrysalis. And after a bit, comes out. There we go. As a butterfly. It's like the caterpillar has been born all over again. Totally changed. Friends, that's what it takes to become a child of God. Some people think, well, I'll become a child of God if I practice, if I try hard to be better. No, I need to be totally changed. And it's such a total change, it's like being born all over again. When you got born to your parents, what did you do to help? Do you remember being particularly helpful in any way? Contributing to the whole process in any way? No, nothing you did. They gave birth to you. You are a child of your parents because of something they did. And we are children of God because of what He does. He gives birth to us. Some people think, well, I must be a child of God because I come from a Christian family. Do you remember what it said in our verse? Children born not of natural descent. You're not a child of God because of who you're descended from, who you're related to. I mean, it's a wonderful blessing to be part of a Christian family, but by itself doesn't make you a child of God. Or some people think, well, I must be a child of God because I've decided to try and be a good person and go to church and give to charity. And no, you see, not born of a human decision. Deciding to try and be good and go to church is like the caterpillar practicing, learning to fly. It doesn't make you a child of God. Becoming a child of God is something God does. It's like changing a caterpillar to a butterfly. He does a miracle that makes us totally different. And the caterpillar, when he was a caterpillar, he couldn't fly. But now he's a butterfly. And once we had hearts that didn't really love God, do you remember? We weren't interested in listening to the sermon, finding out more about this God. We didn't care. But now something's changed. Do you know that? See, now you love him. And you love listening to the sermon. You love reading the Bible because you want to know him better. You want to pray to him because you want to be close to him. You want to live for him because you want to please him. And that's the sign that you have been born again. You've become a butterfly. So, a Christian is a child of God who has been born of God. I guess the danger is we drift into thinking that being a Christian is a slightly boring thing to be. It's stuff you do, it's stuff you believe. In other words, we keep thinking that being a Christian is like being a caterpillar practicing to fly. So we think we're heading out into next week, we're going to grit our teeth, we're going to try our best. No, being a Christian is about a miracle God has done in us. So, we're heading out into another week, not gritting our teeth, trying our best. We're heading out into another week with our Father in heaven. You say, yeah, but will he be there for me? Will he care for me? Does he love me? Well, this miracle that these verses talk about show us just how much he loves us. He doesn't just leave us as we are. In his love, he sends his Son to fetch us home. To come under the desk. And in his love, he does a miracle that changes our hearts. Do you see? In his love, he has made us his children. Because he wants us as his children. And that's the best thing about being a Christian. The best thing about being a Christian is not that we have forgiveness. Or not that we have a future in a world made new, though those things are wonderful. The best thing about being a Christian is we have a Father. Like this. Who is good. And who loves us. And will never stop loving us. Let's pray. Our Father, we're sorry for when we so often forget that you are our Father. And we forget how wonderful it is to be your children and to be able to turn to you with things on our hearts. And we pray for the friends and the family and the people we love who don't know you as their Father, who are just trying to work hard to become your children and who don't realize that it takes a miracle. And we pray for them. And we pray that in your kindness you would do that miracle in their hearts, that they would be born into a relationship with you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks very much for all your questions. Mike, can I put some of these to you?
Yep.
Okay, here's the first one, Mike. If growing up you don't know God, you're not a child of God, you've not been born of God, but then later on in life, as a grown-up, you become a Christian, is it still true to say, someone asked, that you're a child? Can you still be called a child of God?
Sorry, at what stage? I mean, once you become a Christian?
Not sure from the question. I suppose as a grown-up, is it still right to say you're a child of God? Or have you missed, I guess maybe the question is, have you missed an opportunity there?
No, very strikingly, Jesus talks about all God's people as children. And he says, actually, we need to become children to join in with what he's doing. That's to say, my relationship with God is always a child talking to his Father. In other words, I'm always quite small and in need of him and dependent on him for everything. I never grow up, and in the Christian life, you never grow up to the point of being, well, I can stand on my own two feet now. That's why the relationship is child-father. It's not, I'm fine now, I'll move on. Actually, the more we grow on in the Christian life, the more like children we become, because the more we learn to depend on him and trust him and go to him. In the way that you see children depending on their parents, looking to their parents. If we've misunderstood the question, come and catch us afterwards.
Yeah, apologies if I didn't read your question quite right. Do come and speak to Mike more. Same goes for any of these questions, if you want to speak to Mike more about that. The second question, which is kind of similar, but kind of the other way around. A couple of questions say, if someone used to be a Christian, maybe growing up as a child was a Christian, but no longer is or no longer seems to be, Is this a permanent thing? A caterpillar becoming a butterfly suggests there's a permanent thing here. Is this permanent? Or what happens then?
If it is permanent, it just means that... But the New Testament, the Bible talks about people who look a lot like children of God. They're caterpillars who've got some really good artificial wings. You know, they're kind of... They've got the face paint and everything. But actually there is... The question, am I a child of God, is one I have to answer today. Today, do I love him? Today, am I living for him? I think one of the sort of things that's really quite hard is there are people in church life who look a lot like children of God, and then you realize that they drift off, they're nowhere. And I think that the Bible would say that's because they were going along with it all, but their hearts were never made new.
Probably one last one. If becoming a Christian is being born of God and we're chosen in a sense, we don't contribute anything, how do I become one?
If you look at the verse we had today, the clue of what our part is John chapter 1 verse 12, yet to all who received him, which is to those who believe in his name. So what I do is but that word believe is the word that means trust. I trust him. In other words, you trust someone when you say to them, please will you help me? I put my situation in your hands. I can't make myself, I'm a caterpillar. I can't make myself a butterfly. I can't change my own heart. And the person who becomes a Christian is the person who says, well, so Lord, I put my life in your hands. Please, will you do what I can't do for myself? That's the bit that, as it were, our part in this verse. But the big thing John wants to say is, ultimately, you don't say, well done me for becoming a Christian. You go, wow, he did a miracle.
Thanks, Mike.